Sounds exactly the same, but everything has changed. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome, broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. Albie, it's a Wednesday, but I got to have that deck of yeah. Hit me with it right now. Why am I doing a deck of yeah on a Wednesday? Is it because I'm taking off Thursday and Friday? No, that is not the answer. I'm hitting you straight up with a deck of yeah on a Wednesday because we've got new digs. We've got a brand new crib. We have a brand new studio, and it feels great to be home. Telephone number is the same. You can still find me the same way on Twitter. You can still hit me on email the exact same way. Nothing has changed, but everything is different, and it feels absolutely awesome. So many people have worked so hard to get us to this point, but we are in a brand new space. I mentioned yesterday when we came off the air that we were moving. We did that well into the night, and we are all set with a brand new studio. And the reason for that, of course, this show goes to television on January 2nd on CBS Sports Network. Again, you want to make sure you have CBS Sports Network, but between now and then, we will do the radio program the way we always do, only in a new studio. And it feels awesome. This studio is the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. Let me lay out the program for you. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. Get on it right now. Open phones to start the show. Anything you want to talk about, and you know I've got my thoughts on Eli Manning, which I'll get to momentarily. Again, hit us up. Who wants to be the very first call in our brand new studio? It's going to go down. It will always be there. It'll be there at the year in review. It'll be there going forward. I'd love to see who's going to set the tone. Who's going to break the ice? Who is going to be the first call in our brand new studio? Again, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. You know, you can find me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me. The email address still works here. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the interviews, coming up at 40 past, Xavier Bulldogs head basketball coach Chris Mack. Top of hour number two, an NFL insider for Sportsnet New York, Ralph Vacchiano. Dana White, president of the UFC, joins me in hour number three, and Wednesday is an ATP day. I'm looking for the first everything, the first phone call, the first email, the first tweet. 1-800-636-8686. See, this is the last guy that I want to start with. This is not the email I want to start with, fellas, but sure enough, here it is. The first email from our brand new studio. Dear Mr. Rome and crew, welcome to our building. We are excited to have you as tenants. Please take a moment to review the following conditions of your lease. Maximum occupancy is 150 people. Therefore, your engineer may not bring his offspring. Heyo! Spoiler alert, Den Lesks sent this email. And there's more bad takes where that one came from. He continues, camping in the attic is strictly prohibited. Thus, you must immediately relocate the man who identified himself as Randall from accounting. And the only audible warning device allowed is the smoke detector. Therefore, you must immediately disable your microwave fish alarm and your fat celebrity alert. Unreasonably, restrictively yours, the meddlesome landlord, Den Lesks, eviction attorney. All right, already I noticed that there's no trash can for me to throw your crap away in. I'll take care of that. Hey, Albie, it actually brings up an interesting question. He mentioned the microwave fish alarm, the fat celebrity alert. Do you have all your drops? All right. That's the fat alarm. We have no need for that. I don't even know why we have that. You're not coming on this show and calling people fat. Calling somebody fat is not a take. Y'all act like you have 3% body fat. All right, so that works, Alvy. How about the microwave fish alarm? That works. One problem. We have no microwave. We don't have to worry about anybody coming to work and jamming their fish into a microwave. We don't have one. Not yet. And you should have seen the one we left behind. So I've got all sorts of thoughts about our new home, about our new studio. And I'm going to get to them a little bit later on. All right, totally so that's trashed. How the show sets up. Totally trashed. Let's see here. My new Windows 10 call screener has paused, y'all. Al, it's on pause. Don't worry about it. We're not taking any phone calls this segment. Don't sweat it. All right, so things that I want to get to. I want to talk Eli Manning. Let's start right there. of all the things that I thought that I'd be talking about on a Wednesday in late November, this is the very last thing. The New York Giants announced that they have benched Eli Manning. Wait, what? Even saying that out loud does not make sense. It's been several hours since the announcement was made, and I still can't wrap my head around this. Forget for a moment that while the guy's not having a great year, he's not having a terrible year either, and that his leading receivers the last two games were Roger Lewis and Tavares King, and that he's only 36, and that he's on a decent contract for a franchise quarterback, and he's a two-time Super Bowl MVP, and the guy did start 210 straight games. Despite all of that, the Giants could not have butchered this any worse than they did. And as you can imagine, Eli was pretty busted up about this yesterday.
How hard is this hitting you emotionally?
It's hard. It's a hard, hard day to handle this, but hang in there and figure it out.
Hardest day as a Giant, you would say?
It's up there. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like you might have started your last game for the Giants?
I don't know. Take one week at a time.
Last one, guys.
Have you spoken to anyone besides Ben about the decision, Jerry or John or anyone like that?
Spoke with Jerry Reese a little bit, and Mr. Mara had he hadn't been in today, and but he knows what's going on, and we'll probably try to speak with him tomorrow sometime.
Right there, you can see how much this means to him. You can see how much that hurt him, and that's the other side. As far as we know, he's not physically hurt. So it's not like they're taking him aside and saying, Eli, you need to sit because you're injured. But if you're going to do something like this, if you're going to rip the heart out of the franchise, you better have a good reason. And you better have a good plan going forward. So over to you, Ben McAdoo. Exactly what is the plan going forward?
It's part of the evaluation process. Geno's come in. He's done everything that we've asked him to do. Won the backup job and want to throw him out there and see how he performs. We feel we can put a good plan together and put him in position to help us win this ballgame.
It's Ben McAdoo. He also added, quote, Geno will start this week. Over the last five games, we will take a look at Geno and we will also give Davis an opportunity, end quote. I mean, what? You're sitting Eli Manning so you can get a look at Geno Smith. The same Geno Smith who the Jets kicked to the curb. The same Geno Smith who threw 34 picks in 30 games. You just benched a guy with 210 straight starts for a guy who missed a team meeting in San Diego because he, quote, messed up the time zones. Look, Eli has not been the problem for the Giants this year. Far from it. Maybe you can sell me on benching Eli if you want to see Davis Webb. But if you want to see Davis Webb, then see Davis Webb. Don't see Geno Smith. We've all seen plenty of Geno Smith, especially DBs. And even if this is about seeing Davis Webb, even if you end up with a top five draft pick, are you not going to take Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, or Baker Mayfield because you loved what you saw from Davis Webb throwing to Tavares King? I mean, come on. If a would-be Hall of Famer like Manning had no chance of winning, throwing it to King, and playing behind that garbage offensive line, what chance is a guy like Webb going to have?
Garbage!
And that's before we get into the idea that Eli actually pushed for McAdoo to get that job. And now McAdoo does him dirty, like this. I mean, seriously. But then again, maybe it's not on McAdoo. Maybe it goes higher than him. I could say this was the most hideous decision since McAdoo went to the barber, but I won't. Because again, this is not about personal appearance. Alvin, you'll have no need in this new studio for your fat alarm. Keep that thing in check. This is bigger than that. It's even bigger than his clownishly oversized windbreakers. Oh, and speaking of that streak, this is what Eli had to say when asked about the streak and what the team actually proposed to him.
You go out there knowing you're coming out. That's, I just didn't think that's, how do you prepare? Hey, start this week, I was going to play the first half, and Geno was going to start the second half. But where, eventually they're going to start working in Davis, and, I thought I was just starting and playing to keep a streak alive, and I didn't think that's the right thing.
I mean, tell me that's not true. Tell me that McAdoo and the team did not offer him the chance to play the first half of games just so he could keep that streak alive. That's even more insulting than benching the guy. Of course they offered him that opportunity because they knew he'd never take it. because unlike the front office, this guy's got class and he's got a clue. And Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo have neither. And as you might imagine, this whole thing did not go down especially well with former Giant legends on social media. Brandon Jacobs, quote, "Are you bleeping kidding me? Show me a guy with more heart and guts than Eli, and I will call you a long tongue liar," end quote. Former Giants great Carl Banks, quote, "I am very emotional about this Eli bleep. The guy who gave you everything, for better or worse, never missing a game, and this is how it ends. Not number 10. He deserves better. He gave his all when better wasn't there for him, and this is how it ends. I heard for him," end quote. Justin Tuck, quote, "I'm honestly at a loss for words. As a person that has seen Eli the QB, but also Eli the man, I'm truly pissed about what has taken place today. This decision is one of the stupidest I've seen in my time being associated with pro sports. Hashtag no loyalty. Hashtag 14 years. Hashtag bull bleep." Once again, I'm not sure if it's a Ben McAdoo call, a GM Jerry Reese call, or if it comes from higher up than that. But is any of this really worth having Justin Tuck bashing his own organization? I mean, you better be damn sure that Geno Smith or Davis Webb is about to be a Hall of Famer if you're going to do your own Hall of Famer like this and risk all the blowback that comes along with it. And it's not just the Giants. Steve Smith Sr. weighed in. He said, quote, "Wow. So Eli Manning got benched. Is it me or is Ben McAdoo running out of people to throw under the bus? He's like a student who didn't study for a test but keeps saying the teacher just doesn't like me. No, son, you failed yourself. Straight donkey." Hashtag facts. Hey, listen, I've been talking about this now for nearly an entire segment. I still can't make sense of it. I don't get anything about this. It is so un-Giant. This is an organization known for getting everything right, and they could not have gotten this any more wrong. Manning has been nothing but class since arriving in New York, through the good times and the bad. He's always repped that franchise with class and dignity, and what's he have to show for it now? An axe in his back. They just jammed this guy hard. They just jammed this guy like he's Chad Henne or something. This guy deserves so much better. Where do you come out? I've got plenty more thoughts on that. 1-800-636-8686. This email says, "Rome, benching Eli for Geno Smith is like making cereal, and instead of grabbing milk that expires in 3 days, you grab milk that expired 6 years ago." Stephen Phoenix. You know what, Steve? I changed studios, but I upgraded my studio, but your emails are no better here than they were there. Come on, man. Unwar adults under 40 who use talk to text. You see what I mean? I was hoping that your game would improve when I moved, but it didn't.
Step your game up.
Stephen Phoenix. "Dear Jim, it's always nice to get new digs after spending 10 years in your old crib. Signed, OJ." If anything, the emails are worse here. We might have to go back to where we were. Sean in Vegas. Hey, hit your reset button. Hit your reboot button. You can tell I'm fired up. You can tell I did my job. You can tell I'm ready to go. What about the rest of you? We all moved late into the night and we're fired up to get here. You should be excited too. Show it to me with a solid email or a tweet or a call. Other things to talk about today. In addition to Eli Manning, LeBron ejected for the first time of his career. I'll get into that. Mike Gundy had a look at that Tennessee job and said, "Thanks, no thanks." What a disaster that is. Meanwhile, Arizona State's looking for a head coach. Herm Edwards? Really? Clippers get some good news and some bad news. I'll get into that. Blake Griffin's got an MCL sprain. Not a tear, but a sprain, which means that he'll be out about 2 months. It's, in a sense, it's kind of good news, but not for the reason you might think. Have you seen that story about Florida State and likes to fight kicker? We'll get into that too. In fact, I've got a ton of show. I've got about 5 shows that could jam into one show. I'm looking for you to take part. All right, so that's my first live segment from my first new studio. And this right here, you know what this is? You know what this is? That's my first live tongue. The first tongue on the mic. Who's going to be the first call in our new studio? Who's going to be the first call to get wrecked in our new studio? Who's going to get the first golden ticket from our new studio? It's a first for everything. After more than a decade in our last studio, we now have a brand new one. It feels awesome. On Twitter, before I go to break, at Smokey34 asks, was Lef standing at the door this morning waiting to greet you at the new studio? He was not. Neither was Randall. At Tommy from NC tweet. No! Tommy from NC tweets, if you let the Eli clip play longer, he eventually wars his fiance.
War me and my fiance and war Jordan.
I get it. Because Eli was about to break down. Because Eli was about to cry. Like homeboy from San Antonio. Or my fiance. Did you get off Jeff from San Antonio?
And war Jordan.
Hey, listen. Have you been married? Did you have a child? Did you not choke up? That's what this guy was dealing with. He had a fiance. He was about to have a child. The fiance let him name his child Jordan. I mean, this guy had a lot of stuff going on. Leave him alone. With that, there is your first segment from our new studio, and it feels tremendous. You've got your telephone number. Go ahead and use it. Open phones next segment.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This space is amazing. It's totally different. Understand when you've done the same thing the same way for... And the fact is, I was talking yesterday about how we had been in that studio about 10 years. The truth is, we had been there closer to 12 years. So, in the exact same physical space, doing the same thing for 12 years, and I was going to try and let you in. In fact, the sparrow was on me pretty hard to try and put it out there. I was not ready to do it yet because the place is not quite ready. But I was actually going to bring you inside the studio and let you see exactly what it looks like. It's just different. Everything about this is different. There's a lot more real estate, a lot more space between me and the XR4TI. So I'm getting used to that. I've got some new caller software. Normally, I went old school literally with a phone. I would hit your call, bring your call up with a phone, put it on hold, disconnect. Otherwise, now we've got this really cool software. So, I mean, don't take it the wrong way. I don't necessarily want to talk to you right now, but I do need to see whether or not I can work the software. So let's find out whether or not it goes. Now, if you were me and given the choices I have, hey, Josh in Detroit, no offense, bro, no way in hell I open up a new studio with you being the first call. In fact, Josh, I can't even promise you'll get on today. However, Josh, you did make the podcast. I'll give you that. You did make the Jim Rome podcast once again. Speaking of the podcast, really quickly, Daryl Morey is our guest this week. It's already up right now on iTunes and wherever else you can find it. He talked, among other things, about building the Rockets, and he says this Golden State team was better than the Bulls of 95-96. Not only would this Golden State team beat the Bulls of 95-96, he said it wouldn't even go seven games. Also, as part of the podcast, I did put Hawk on. I know you clones want to get inside. I know you always want to be behind the curtain. I know you don't want to wait until January 2nd when this thing does go to TV finally. So I give you a little bit of a taste. The EP, The Hawk, came in, and he and I chopped it up, and I talked to him about his first year on the gig, what he loves about the job, what he does not like about the job, any surprises about the job. Check out the podcast. You'll like it. All right, now bear with me. Again, I've never tried the software before. I'm going to try and take telephone calls with a brand new bit of software. Let's check it out. Let's go to Arkansas. JB in Arkansas. JB, good morning. What's up? How are you? JB, go ahead.
First time caller, Rome. How are you?
I'm great, bud. I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you, sir. So the software appears to be working flawlessly
nice.
At this point.
Right.
I just wanted to be the first caller at the new crib. I've been listening to you since about 2004, 2005, since Rome is burning, and I just want to welcome you to the neighborhood.
My man, I appreciate that very much. Nice job. So that's fine, right? I called it up a little bit slow, but he got on the air. It worked. I put him on hold. Hey, Hawk, is he on hold right now? Let's see if drop works. I'm going to need drop a lot more than hold. Let's see. Do I have to put him back up to drop him? Okay, JB, you're up. And now you're not. Now you're not. Now you're on. Now, goodbye. Hey, he was there, right? All right, so I think I got the software figured out. Nice job, JB. 1-800-636-8686. I appreciate you saying that you've been listening since Rome is Burning. That was a TV show that I used to do for ESPN. I had a TV show that I did daily for a number of years for CBS Sports Network called Rome, and now we're going to have a daily TV show, which is the radio show. It's going to be live, a live simulcast. Not the first hour, not the last hour, not a best of, all 3 hours live. I'm sitting in a TV studio right now. There are TV cameras up, there are monitors everywhere, and you'll see what it looks like come January 2nd. We're not quite ready for the TV show yet, but we're ready for the radio show. Here we are. 1-800-636-8686. Once again, I want to talk about Tennessee. They backed up the Brinks truck. They tried to get Mike Gundy to take their jack. He didn't want it. We'll get into that. Clippers are without Blake Griffin. I definitely want to cover that story a little bit later on. An update on the new studio is coming up. CFB playoffs. The penultimate rankings are set. If I'm dropping a word like that, it must be pretty important. So I'll have that for you, too. All of that still ahead. Top of hour number two, we talk NFL with Ralph Vacchiano. Dana White, president of the UFC, coming up in hour number three. When we come back, the head basketball coach of Xavier, Chris Mack, joins us. Right now, though, it is time for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, live in a brand new studio here in Southern California. It feels incredible. I've got Xavier head basketball coach Chris Mack coming up momentarily. It is Wednesday, so it's an ATP day. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question there. Listen, and later on, I might answer yours. In the meantime, you want to trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They'll help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your car at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Your telephone number is toll-free. As promised, we're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Xavier, the 2016 National Coach of the Year. In his ninth season as Musketeers head coach, he led Xavier to the NCAA tournament 7 times, including the Elite Eight last season. They beat number 16 Baylor 76-63 last night. Number 11 Cincinnati is at 20th-ranked Xavier on Saturday. That obviously is a huge showdown. We are joined by Xavier head coach Chris Mack. Chris, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Really good to visit with you, Chris. Thanks so much. Let me start by asking you about Baylor. They come at you with a lot of size, but you got out to an early lead. They fought their way back into it. You pulled away once again. You've had a lot of great wins in your time at Xavier, but where does that one rank in terms of special early season wins?
Well, you have a short-term memory as a coach, so it felt good last night. We haven't been able to get Baylor in the three previous times we played them. You know, Coach Drew does an amazing job. They have such size. I mean, I don't know if you've never seen Baylor in person, the size they present, literally in their entire front court, is all inspiring, to say the least. And but our guys did a really good job of getting good shots against their zone, and they played us a lot more man than I think that they typically do. And, you know, credit to our kids that when Baylor fought back, like good teams do, and made it a really close game that we were able to pull away and make some toughness plays down the stretch. But really good win for our program for sure.
Chris Mack joining us. You know, they've got that amazing size, but one of the things that you and your players were talking about before that game and even after the game was the defensive intensity. Baylor has an explosive offense. You held them to just 15 points below their season average. So how pleased were you with the way your guys showed up on defense?
Really pleased. You know, you're going to have some lulls on offense, especially against a really good defensive team like Baylor, where maybe 3 or 4 possessions in a row are empty and you don't score and can't break your will on the defensive end. And, you know, I thought Quentin Gooden for us, Jim, did an unbelievable job of chasing their point guard, Manu Lacombe, all over the floor. You know, Baylor has so many set plays and They run a lot of staggered screens to try to get him free for open looks. And Quinn was really locked in, as were the rest of our guys, in making sure that we took away Baylor's strengths.
We're talking to Chris Mack, head coach at Xavier. You know, last night's win also gives you wins over Wisconsin on the road and Baylor at home, both of which came by double digits. So how valuable then are these early season non-conference tests in helping your team grow?
Well, I think it's really valuable. We get into league play, we're going to play in some tough environments against some really good teams. You know, a year ago, our league got 7 of the 10 Big East teams in the NCAA tournament. So we know that if we don't test ourselves now, if we don't go against good competition both at home and on the road, that we're not going to be as prepared as we need to be when we enter league play. And you know, we have some heavyweights we got to be ready for. And I think games like last night really help us do that.
Chris Mack joining us, one of the heavyweights, of course, Cincinnati on Saturday. In fact, I had Arizona Cardinals linebacker Carlos Dansby on the show yesterday. He's an Auburn alum. We were talking about the Auburn-Alabama rivalry. He said the intensity is something you simply cannot explain. So how would you describe the rivalry with Cincinnati?
Well, it's electric. You know, I think if you ask anybody that's from the city, you know, they're generally on one side or the other. You know, they either hate UC and love Xavier, or hate Xavier and love UC. And, you know, it's unique. You know, the schools are 2.5 miles apart, but completely different in the terms of their identity, what the campus looks like. You know, we've had historically both of our programs have been really good. Mick Cronin's done an unbelievable job. They've been a top 25 team, you know, the last 5 or 6 years running. He took it over, you know, when they were really down the dumps, and there was a huge transition that he's made. And so their program has an identity, and I think we do as well. It's going to be an unbelievable game for our city. I think nationally people tune in. And so, yeah, a lot of respect on both sides, but also a lot of healthy hatred between the fan base. And so it's going to be interesting on Saturday.
Chris Mack joining us. So when you look at Mick Cronin's Cincinnati team and you start to get ready for them, what concerns you the most?
Well, there are a lot of things. You know, I think his teams have always been really, really good defensively, and this year's team's no different. But, you know, where they really have changed, I think, is offensively. They have a lot of answers, both in the post and on the perimeter. And, you know, for us, it starts on the glass. You know, they're an unbelievable rebounding team on both ends of the floor. It was our undoing last year. We played them really well at their place. Trayvon Blue, it exploded for 40 points, but at the very end of the day, we couldn't get a defensive rebound, and that's what sealed our fate. So it's going to start on the glass, and we have to do a great job of keeping those guys off of the offensive backboard.
Chris Mack joining us. You know, mentioned Trayvon Blewett. In terms of him, he was dealing with some back pain last night, but he kept on battling. What did he show you and his teammates in continuing to fight the way he did last night?
Well, he showed me something that I already knew, Jim. That is, winning is really important to Trey. You know, he won high school state championships. He's used to winning here. And, you know, I think special players and players that are about your program, when things aren't going well for them personally during the course of the game, Trey missed a few shots that are usually layups for him, you know, some wide open threes in the first half. But he kept on battling. You know, his effort on the offensive glass in the last 3 or 4 minutes, you know, really saved the game in terms of being a 6 to 8 point game rather than a one possession game. And, you know, that's the type of play that you expect out of seniors and guys that are used to winning.
You know, Chris, last year he could have entered the NBA draft after the season, but he decided to return because, as he said, quote, "I'm not done yet." He's always been able to score the ball, but how much has his approach to the game and to practice evolved since he first arrived on campus?
Well, I think a lot of things have evolved. You know, I think number one, his body has. I mean, if you went back and watched videotape of Trey as a freshman, he'd be hardly recognizable as to what he looks like as a senior. You know, he's become, like most seniors do, very mature, extremely disciplined about what he eats. He's a guy that I think gets it on both ends of the floor now. You know, if he doesn't get a shot in the first 5-6 minutes, he's not going to force a bad one. He's going to do what the game tells him to do. And from that standpoint, you feel great as a coach because he's all about winning. So I think there's been a lot of things that evolved, probably nothing as drastic as his body. But, you know, I think on the defensive end, he's always been a guy willing to sacrifice his body and rebound the ball. And so for us to have a, a guy in his final year be your best player and care that much about winning really helps our program.
We're talking to Chris Mack for a few more moments. You know, last season, I guess, is in the past. We know that. But at the same time, the past can inform the future. So when you look back on last season and how things were going at the end of the regular season and then the way you turned it around in the tournament with that great run to the Elite Eight, what kind of thoughts or memories stick out the most?
Well, I think hopefully for me, our players learn the fine line between winning and losing. You know, it's not when you win, hey, you do everything right, and it's so much easier. And when you lose, you do nothing right. It's a couple plays here and there. It's a missed blockout. It's not concentrating on a free throw. It's not paying attention to the scouting report that can really be the difference between winning and losing. And our group lost six games in a row, and you know they were able to not have their confidence shook so much to the point where they snapped against each other. You know, there was no inner fighting. I think there was a belief that still permeated through our team that we could be a really good team. And then, so for me, the reward of seeing our guys being able to celebrate with their teammates and achieve something when a lot of people thought we were done was really rewarding for me to sort of see that. And I think hopefully those guys learned a year ago that just because people are predicting us to be good and just because we've had a couple good wins here early in the season doesn't mean that, you know, Saturday is going to automatically happen. You know, we have to make that happen and understand the difference between winning and losing is a fine line.
Such a great matchup coming up on Saturday. Before I let you go, the really important stuff too. Now, Chris, like Halloween candy.
Of course.
The Halloween candy. You tweeted out a pic of your son Braden's Halloween candy arranged from best to worst with Kit Kat on one end and what appeared to be Laffy Taffy on the other. You got to break that down for me.
Well, I'm going to tell you, anytime you get any type of taffy, I mean, come on, it's 2017. You know, like the honeybee things, those little black wrapper pieces of candy. Nobody's eating those. You know, nobody's eating those.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm a Kit Kat guy, but hey, there were some really good things. You know, fortunately, we live on a nice street. You know, some of my son's candy, those were the real size candy bars. And as you know, when you get one of those on Halloween night, that's a home run.
Well, that is a home run. All right, so if that's the way you feel about that, and Kit Kat's on one end, where, for instance, do you come out on Starburst as a candy?
See, I'm not a big Starburst fan.
Yeah,
you know,
me neither.
I think it should be more chocolates, caramels, you know, on Halloween. Then it should be, you know, Starburst. They stick to your teeth. I think they're nasty. I put those more at the bottom end of the spectrum.
Preach. Preach, Chris. I was going to say the exact same thing. In fact, if you had said to me, where do you come out on Starburst, I would have answered it the exact same way. I'm more of a chocolate guy. I don't get it. So let me ask you this. What is worse to hand out on Halloween, candy corn or pennies?
Now, I'll tell you, you got to be a miser if you're handing out pennies on Halloween. You know, like, if you can't make the effort to go to your local Kmart or King Quick or something to get some candy and pass out to the kids, it's a problem. But, you know, now Walmart and some of these stores make it so easy. I mean, all you have to do is go out and spend $10. But to pass out pennies or popcorn balls or, you know, some gift, you know, gift certificates for like 50 cents, I mean, you got to step up your game a little bit, I believe.
You got to step your game up, right, Alvy? Step your game up.
Step your game
Don't
up.
Be a miser. Don't give out pennies. Hey, Chris, last
sort of
thought.
Like you guys have stepped up your game.
You
in
have
the
to.
Studio.
You have to, right? And you got a new studio. You got to step your game up. You know that, Chris. You have to. You're closing in on Pete Gillen's school record of 202 wins as a head coach. I know you're not in it for records like that, but it's a really big number. What does that mean to you?
It means I've been here a long time, and I'm very appreciative of it. I think that you know, coaches are defined by their players, guys that listen, that want to win. And I've been able to coach some unbelievable players, some guys that are all about winning. And I'm really fortunate. And I don't look at it as my anything. You know, this is our team, our program, and just very fortunate to be a representative of Xavier.
Hey, Chris, what a big week this is. You beat Baylor last night. You've got the showdown against Cincinnati on Saturday. And it's always great to have you on the show, Chris. Thank you so much. Great talking to you once again.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
You got it. Chris Mack, head basketball coach at Xavier, one of the best, 2016 National Coach of the Year, and already a couple of big, big wins this season. Beat number 16 Baylor last night, and they are so big. He's right. They are big. They're active. They're aggressive. That's a great win for them. And now the showdown. That's one of those great, great rivalries. As he mentions, those schools are about 2.5 miles apart. Fan bases hate each other. Cincinnati, Xavier, a couple of top 20 teams. They play Saturday at noon Eastern. He is our first interview in our new studio. 1-800-636-8686. Coming up at the top of the hour, I've got Ralph Vacchiano, and he covers the Giants in the NFL. So we're going to get his thoughts on Eli Manning. I already broke down what I thought about that at the very top of the program. I'll have more on that. Dana White is back in hour number three. I've got the ATP coming up later on. It's all brand new. Brand new studio, a first for phone calls, tweets, and emails. In fact, let's go back to the phones. I'm still getting used to my new call software, so I want to make sure that it's all good. Let's go to Green Bay. Kyle in Green Bay. Kyle, nice to have you on. What's up? How are you? Hey, Kyle, what's up?
Yeah, you know, I'm just calling to talk about Eli. I've been a Giants fan my whole life. I've pretty much only seen two quarterbacks, Kerry Collins and Eli. I was heartbroken by the news, man. I saw that video of him about to break down. It almost made me want to break down. What a horrible, horrible thing by management. Ben McAdoo, I can't stand that guy anymore. Like, he needs to leave New York. I'm going to the Giants-Cardinals game in Phoenix, and if I get kicked out of the game for yelling at Ben McAdoo in the sidelines, I will not be mad. And that's all I got, Ron. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Kyle. Thanks so much. There you go. You were going to get that war in, but my drop button worked. I'm getting the hang of this thing. Well, he sounded even more shaken up by that than Eli did. And Eli was pretty busted up. I played you the soundbite earlier. He just said, I'm going to go to the game, and if I get thrown out for yelling at Ben McAdoo, I won't even care. If they're throwing people out for yelling at Ben McAdoo, there's not going to be anybody in that yard. Look, let me say this again. I'm not even necessarily opposed to them benching Eli Manning. I mean, I know it seems kind of sacrilegious, but I'm not even opposed to that. But if you're going to do it the right way. There's a right way to do it, and that was all wrong. For example, if you need to evaluate Davis Webb and you have to bench Eli Manning to do it, on some level, I do understand that. But handle it the right way. And benching Eli Manning so you can, quote, evaluate Geno Smith is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Saying that you have to even evaluate Geno Smith is bullcrap. You need to evaluate Smith. He's terrible. There's your evaluation. You already know what you have in Geno Smith. We all know what you have in Geno Smith. The Jets left him at the curb and said, if you can haul him, you can have him. Obviously, there is no way Geno Smith is going to be your starting quarterback going forward. So why the hell do you have to evaluate Geno Smith? The answer is you don't. Benching a franchise icon, a guy who led you to two rings and is one of the best players that you've ever had, benching that guy for one of your worst might be the Giants' worst look ever. I mean, worse than being 2-9 in a season where you had legitimate Super Bowl aspirations. This is rock bottom. This should have never happened the way it did. And to me, because it did go down like this, as well as a number of other things, it's time for them to clean house. GM Jerry Reese has got to go. He's the one presiding over this dumpster fire. He's responsible for this debacle and couldn't have handled it any worse than he did. Like he couldn't have handled the Josh Brown debacle any worse than he did last year. Just like he couldn't handle the draft or free agency pretty much any worse than he has. I mean, show the guy the door. And then he can go ahead and take McAdoo with him because McAdoo is running out of people to stab in the back and run under the bus. And the new GM, whoever that is going to want to hire his own coach anyway. Drop a bomb on this thing. Start over. A new coat of paint's not going to fix that. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue that conversation. An NFL insider for Sportsnet New York, Ralph Vacchiano, joins me. That's coming up next. Hour number one in our new studio in the books. It feels awesome. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome, and this is CBS Sports Radio.